The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do all believers follow Christ? And are all who follow Christ believers? And which of the followers of Christ will be closest to Him in eternity? Today from Luke 6, 17 through 20, we'll have a discussion about this. And thank you for joining us, friend. This is Grace in Focus. It is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. And you can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There you will find hundreds of articles, many of which we've written, and others have written as well, about the free grace message. And in our store you'll find Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Please visit us, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We're not in the great big palace there outside of Dallas, the GES headquarters.
The palace in Dallas. There you go.
We are in sunny South Carolina, and we are going to be doing some of the questions that were sent in by our listeners. And Catherine, we got a really good one. I like this one because she talks about the blogs. There's a recent blog that went out on Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, and she commented on it, and she would like some further expansion on it. So this gives us a chance to let people know, maybe if they're not aware of it, that there's blogs on the GES website.
They're free.
And they're absolutely free, just like Hodges's book. And
well, not the book. You do have to pay for the book.
That's true.
But the title is absolutely free.
Right.
But yeah, if you want to go to faithalone.org, you can sign up for the blogs for your email, and it will come directly to your email every weekday. And they're fun. They're just short. We try to keep them under 800 words, so they're just more devotional style. And
you could read one every day. That's right, Monday
really
through Friday.
Great.
And Bob Wilkin writes some, I write some, Catherine writes some. So we get the old guys and we get the younger person in there with her perspective. But anyway, Jill was talking about this one that was recently in there, like I said, on Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And in the blog, it talks about the fact that the blog suggests that there's three groups of people who are listening to the Lord speak, because he's about to give his Sermon on the Plain, starting in verse 20. And we know that he chose the 12, and those are the ones closest to him. Then Luke also mentions that there are some other disciples there. They're not the 12, but they're disciples. And so they're people who are following Christ. They want to hear him speak. They want to learn more of him, but they're not as close to him as the 12, obviously. And then there is a large group of people that Luke mentions who are listening to him as well. And in the blog, it suggests that those three groups are described by their
proximity
to the Lord. You got the 12 who are closest, and you got the disciples who are next, and then the crowd. And in the crowd, there would have been believers.
Right. Yeah.
And among these believers, there were those who were saying, should I follow him?
So it's kind of like the idea, too, of the inner circle within the 12 as well, that we see, for example, on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the three that get to go see the Lord transformed, but then also in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, the inner circle of disciples, so that there are, proximity is not equal.
Right. And you can imagine in this big crowd, again, as they're listening to Jesus talk, and go look and see what he says in verse 20. He's going to talk about how difficult it is to follow him. And in that crowd, then there were people who were thinking, well, do I want to do that? And there would have been some believers who said yes, and there would have been some believers who said no. And of course, that's one of the hallmarks of free grace theology, that there's a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. A believer is, like we said, absolutely free. But Jesus now is going to talk about the cost of following him. And in the blog, it talks about the fact that there's going to be differences, not only among believers on earth like this, but also in the kingdom. And that was Jill's question. She wants to know, in conjunction with Luke chapter 6, what will that mean to be closer to the Lord mm-hmm. in eternity? The way she words it is, we know eternity will not be the same for everyone, but how would being closer, she says to God, but to Christ for eternity, compel disciples to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness? So the question is, in eternity, what will that look like to be closer to mm-hmm. the Lord? We can kind of see it in this world. You meet some believers who we would say have a, what, more intimate relationship with the Lord. They long to see him coming. They spend time in his word. Now, obviously, people can fake that, but let's assume that you have two or three believers, and one is longing for his return, longing to see him, and another one is like, well, it's okay if he comes or not. It's, you mm-hmm. know, and then you might have some who say, man, I hope he doesn't come today. mm-hmm. You know, I hope he doesn't come for a while.
Yeah.
And obviously those people have differences in their intimacy with the Lord.
Now, with her question, though, didn't she ask about what would motivate, why would we be motivated by that?
Yes, what would compel?
What could compel us? So why would we desire to be closer to him?
Right.
There's so many responses to that. And I do want to say, we just did a conference, a regional up in North Dakota. It was our first time in North Dakota. It was so much fun. And it was on rewards. And if you are interested in hearing those sessions, you'll be able to check them out at faithalone.org too. But one of the things we talked about is that, you know, we kind of had a similar question about, well, why would I want to reign in the kingdom to come? That sounds like more work. You know, why would I want to have more jobs, for example? You know, why would that be motivating? And one of the answers, which I think is really at the heart of it, is that, well, in the kingdom, you're going to want to serve the Lord.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
You're going to want to serve him, you know, right now, even in our flesh, you know, as you're walking with him, the hope is that you would want to serve him. But in our glorified state, that's all we're going to want to do. And so we will have greater capacity to serve him as he tells us, hey, I need you to go over here and build a city, or go over here and teach this group of people, or whatever, that we will have a greater capacity to serve him. That's pretty motivating.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine if we put it in contemporary times, if the Lord were to come here right now and call 50 of us together,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be great if he sat down and he said, hey, I want you 4 or 5 or whatever it is to come with me. I've got a special task for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our flesh, we would say, how cool is that? We get to spend time with him. Like you mentioned, the ones who went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the one who went with him into the garden, further into the garden with him, the ones who went in when he raised the 12-year-old girl from the dead.
Yeah.
There was only 3, right? And so in the kingdom, there will be, as you mentioned, more opportunities to serve him for those who are closest to him. And you also mentioned reigning with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not all believers will reign with Christ. All believers will be in the kingdom. All believers will live with him. But those who are close to him are going to be those who reign. And among those, there are going to be some who are closer than others. And by the way, we see that in our own world, right? I mean, we have mayors of cities and governors, mm-hmm. and then we have in the federal government, well, who's closest to the president? Those in his staff, those in his cabinet,
mm-hmm.
And governors are closer than those who are mayors, for example, mm-hmm. or something like that. And so Jill's question is, what would compel me? Well, we've mentioned some of these things. We'll be closer to the Lord. We'll have more responsibility. He'll give us more responsibility. And we see that in a number of the parables.
Mm-hmm. I was just listening to you talk too. I just think about the Lord's Supper too. I mean, you're talking about a very select few of men that got to be there that night, and who wouldn't have just given their right arm to be a fly on the wall that night, just to see it and to hear him speak, to hear him teach. And I think of John, you know, being able to sit right next to him and lay on his chest and just the intimacy that he shared. And so I think it's also you get the proximity, man. You get to hear his voice and you get to hear those teachings and have greater intimacy at the end of the day.
And we were created to rule over the works of God's hand. Mm-hmm. We go back to Genesis. Those who are closest to him are going to rule over more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some believers who don't rule over anything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that that should compel us. It's what we were created for.
Mm-hmm.
In John 10:10, it talks about abundant life. Well, the experience of life is not only for this world, it's also for the world to come. If you want a richer experience of Christ, who is eternal life,
mm-hmm.
then those who are closest to him, those who he's going to reward like that, are going to have a greater experience of that life.
I think also we talked about this over the weekend too, about rewards, that it's also what the Lord wants. He wants to be closer to you. He wants to be in fellowship with you, and he wants to teach us more, and he wants us to understand and grow in our knowledge and grace and maturity. And so that it also, you know, we talk about rewards and the idea that it will bring him joy to reward those who've been faithful.
Right.
And so we wouldn't want to displease him. We want his approval, but it includes that thought of, as a father finds pride and joy in a child that has succeeded, so will our heavenly Father when we succeed in the spiritual sense.
Yeah. And you know, it's the idea of being closer to him is something that we should desire.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes against the idea that the kingdom is just going to be this mystical, cloudy place. No,
yeah.
It's going to be a real world, real places to go, responsibilities to do, work to perform.
Cities.
How great will it be for the Lord to call us, if we're one of those, and say, I want you to do this for me.
Mm.
That should compel us. Well, Jill, this was an outstanding question. We hope that it was helpful for you and for all of our listeners. Remember,
keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, more about repentance and what would be the point of a post-tribulation rapture. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.